This is going to be a fun lesson for you because we're going to be playing a game. And actually, it's a game that was on television several years ago. I think it still is in different parts of the country. It's called Concentration. Now, if you remember this game, Concentration, there was a puzzle on the board where you turn different pieces of the puzzle over. The entire puzzle, or most of it, if you recall, was in pictures. And those pictures represented or sounded like syllables of words. When you put all the pictures together, they gave you words. For example, they made you a picture of an eyeball with a plus sign and then a tin can. Those pictures would give us I can. Different pictures gave us syllables, which gave us words. Well, we're going to play Concentration in this lesson. This is going to be a fun one. We're going to do it the reverse. Instead of me giving you pictures and having you tell me what words they represent, I'm going to give you words. We're going to break them down by syllable and turn each syllable into pictures. What we're going to do is I'm going to call it one word at a time, and I'll do a couple of them as an example. And then we'll do them, and if you do work with someone, if you are taking this course, work together on this particular exercise. Help each other and tell each other how you would do it. The first thing you're going to do is break the word down by syllable. That's number one. You're going to then take each syllable, one syllable at a time, and by the way the syllable sounds, not the way it's spelled, but the way it sounds, come up with a sound-alike picture. Do it for each syllable in the word, and then you will have two or three pictures for that one word. Now, the pictures won't have anything to do with the meaning of the word. It'll only sound like each syllable, and when you put each of the two or three pictures together, hopefully you'll have the word. Let me give you an example. Let's take the word management. Now, that's an abstract term. You see, abstracts don't give us pictures really in our mind that are very vivid and descriptive. They're concepts and theories. If I call out, give me a picture of a cat, you can say, sure, I can picture that animal. But if I say, call out, give me a picture of management, you probably have a hard time because you can only give me something that's representative or symbolic of it. And for most people, many of the pictures would be quite different. Now think about that. If I say, give me a picture of a cat, you all give me primarily the same animal, although some of you will have a black cat, some of you have a Siamese cat, etc. But it's primarily the same. If I say, give me a picture of management, everyone will have different ones. So we're not going to do that. We're going to break it down by syllable because this will be a very effective technique and exercise on working with and stimulating the imagination. If we were to take management, the first thing I said to do is break it down by syllable. The first syllable is man. What would be a picture of man? Obviously, a man, a person. What's the next syllable? Age. What type of man is it then? Age? Old. He's an old man. And what's the last syllable? Meant. 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 Give me a picture of something that sounds like meant. 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 Maybe mints. Mint. Meant. Mint. They sound alike. So you'd have an old man and he's eating mints. That would be a picture that you could put on the concentration puzzle board. Let's take another one. Category. Category. What's the first syllable? Cat. That gives you, obviously, a picture of cat. What's the next syllable? Ah. That really doesn't help us. How about the next one? Gore. And the last one is E. Well, let's take those three syllables, ah, gore, E, put them together, and you have agori, agori. What's a picture of agori? A bloody, gory cat, sure. So category, if we broke it down by syllables, would give you one picture of a bloody, gory cat. Sorry, cat lovers. Let's take another one. Trading, trading. What's the first syllable? Tray. What does that give you a picture of? What's a picture of tray, tray, tray? A tray, sure, maybe like a silver serving tray. What's the last syllable in trading? Ding, ding, ding. What's a picture of ding, ding, ding? Sure, maybe bells or dents in the tray. So some of you would have a picture of a tray with bells on it for tray dinging, trading, or some of you may have a tray with dings in it or dents in it for trading. Now, when I give you these words, I want you to shut the tape off. Do not write the word down. Remember, you're not taking notes throughout this program. But instead, verbally say the word out loud. not only the word, but most importantly, the syllables. Verbally say it 2 to 3 to 4 times, and let me give you a hint. Just like agori, we put several syllables together, which helped us. You can put 2 or more syllables together if those syllables together help you. Let's take conduit. Conduit. Let's break it down by syllable and turn each syllable into a picture. Shut the tape off and do it now. Okay, the first syllable is con. What'd you come up with for a picture for con? Maybe some of you may have thought a convict. Maybe some of you may have thought a convent or con artist. Well, there's a phrase I like to use in this course. It's this. This is not a workshop of right and wrong, but of good, better, and best. If you said a convict, that would give you a pretty good, clear picture in your mind of a person with maybe striped uniform, ball and chains, maybe handcuffs, maybe behind bars. If you said a con artist, that picture is not as descriptive. It's not as clear. It's like if I asked you, give me a picture of a teacher, or give me a picture of a lawyer. It's hard because that doesn't give you one specific picture. You're really just talking about people. But a convict can give you one clear, vivid picture. So good, better, and best, convict would probably be the best. What's the last syllables? Do and et. Each one is tough. When you put them together, you have duet. Duet. Conduet. Duet is a picture of two people singing, a duet. So your picture for conduit would be two convicts singing a duet. Let's take another one. Consternation. Consternation. Shut the tape off, break it down by syllable, turn each syllable into a picture. Go ahead, do it now. Okay, first syllable is con. You probably all thought of a convict. What's the next syllable? It depends on how you pronounce the word. If you said stir, your picture would be of a stirring motion. If you said stern, maybe you thought of a stern face or the stern of a boat. Again, good, better, and best, stern of a boat is probably better because it's an inanimate object. That's always better, an inanimate object. The last two syllables are nay and shun. Both independently are tough, but if you put them both together, you have nation, which gives you a picture. So in this particular example, you'd have a convict sitting on the stern of a boat, and maybe he's going to a new nation. Let's take another one. Let's take freedom. Now, if you broke this down by syllable, you'd have free, you'd have dumb. Each one of those is pretty tough. But if you took the whole word, you could come up with perhaps some pictures that would be representative or symbolic of freedom. Maybe an American flag, revolutionary soldiers, Liberty Bell, Statue of Liberty, bald eagle. So we can come up with pictures that are representative or symbolic of the abstract term. However, it's not the best because it's something that couldn't be as easily put on the concentration board if you were playing that game, because it could mean a lot of different things. Let me give you an example. I was in a live workshop one time, and I asked the group, give me a picture for freedom. And the guy in the back of the room yelled out, lottery ticket. Well, the whole group laughed. I laughed. But I thought to myself, that is his picture for freedom. If I showed pictures of different things to the group and said, what do these pictures mean? I showed them maybe a picture of a bald eagle, maybe Liberty Bell, and people would be calling out and give me different ideas. When I held up lottery ticket, there's one person in the room that would know exactly what that picture represented. He'd yell out freedom. Who would that person be? The man that created it. You're exactly right. You see, when you create these pictures, you'll know what they represent. But all we want to do right now is get you into the habit of breaking things down by syllable, turning them into pictures. Let's take a few more. Let's take proud, P-R-O-U-D, proud. Shut the tape off and come up with something that could be representative or symbolic of proud. Do it now. Okay, some of you may have thought of a bald eagle, maybe an expectant father. Some of you may be thinking of a pride of lions, maybe a marine. Perhaps some of you thought of a peacock or someone getting a gold medal. A lot of those are good pictures. Good, better, and best. Here's a hint. Always pick the simplest picture. You don't want a vast picture or a large picture. You want the simplest one, something that could be put up on the concentration board very easily. In this particular example, a peacock is real good because it's a real simple picture. But that may not work for you. Some of the others are also good. Marine is a very good one because you could vividly see that in your mind. Let's take change. Change. Turn that into a picture. Turn the tape off. Do it now. For change, most people come up with either chains or change, nickels, dimes, quarters. Those are pictures that sound alike. They sound like the abstract word change. Let's take another one. How about peace? Peace. Shut the tape off. Do peace now. Many of you thought of maybe piece of pie or piece of pizza. Some of you maybe thought of the peace symbol, an olive branch, maybe a dove. Those are all good pictures that represent, that are symbolic of peace. Let's take patience. Now, patience is more than one syllable. Break it down by syllable, and it gives you two pictures. Turn off the tape and do it now. Well, many of you may have thought the first syllable is pay, so you can actually see someone paying. The next one is shents, 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 shents. What does that sound like? Cents. Sure. You're paying cents. Pay cents, patience. Sounds like it. Some of you may have thought of patient, an actual patient in a hospital bed. Either one is good. Let's take another one. Trust. 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 Turn off the tape and do trust now. Some of you may have thought of trust. Maybe you just dropped a T and you came up with a sound-alike picture of rust. Rust. That sounds like trust, and I can give you a picture. Some of you may have thought of a bank, like a trust. Either way, those are good. Now, let me give you a difficult one. Let's take the abstract find, F-I-N-D, F-I-N-D, find. Turn find into a picture. Do it now. Well, obviously, it's one syllable, so you have to have something that is either representative or symbolic of find, or something that sounds like find. A word that sounds like find exactly is find, F-I-N-E-D, like you're being fined $50 for speeding. So some of you may have thought of a traffic ticket, or a police officer writing a ticket, or a judge with a white wig, maybe a gavel for being fined. Some of you may have thought of something that's representative of find, like perhaps a treasure chest. That's a pretty good find. Anything at all that can work for you. Now the key here, and this is a very important point, we are working on stimulating your imagination. Break words down by syllable. Use the way that they sound, not the way that they are written down, but the way that they sound, and come up with pictures that will give you back the sounds of the abstract. Why do we have to do this? Two reasons. Number one, it stimulates the imagination, but number two, it gives pictures, because the mind can only work with pictures. If you create a picture that means a specific abstract term or concept or piece of terminology, that picture will bring it back to you because you created that picture. What I'd like you to do is go to the workbook now. The workbook exercise should take about 15 minutes or so. But before you go on, you have to understand a concept of attitude in terms of memory and attitude in learning any new piece of data. Every time I talk about this particular part of the workshop, and when I've taught live training, people have always come up to me, "Oh, Kevin, I don't know if I can do this. Oh, I'm stumped. I'm thinking too much. I don't know if I can grasp this." Well, everyone can, and everyone will, every one of you. Think about this. It's the way you look at the situation. Remember, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way, you're right. Every time I talk about this, it reminds me of a situation that happened when I was outside of Denver, Colorado, speaking at a little copper mining town out there. And at this particular organization, I was speaking at the head table of a businessman's convention, about 500 people at the Old Murray Hotel. Now, there were two major firms that operated and employed about 80% of the people in this community. When I went into this organization, I wasn't aware but both of those companies were on strike, which means 80% of the people were on strike in the community. Things were not going economically real well. While I'm at the head table, I turn to the guy who's sitting to my right, and I say, "Hey, how's things going with you?" He says, "Mr. Trudeau, haven't you heard about the strike?" I says, "No, what strike?" He says, "Well, if the two employers in this particular community that employ 80% of the people are both on strike, which means business around here is terrible. My life is terrible." I says, "Well, what type of business are you in?" He says, "I'm in the real estate business." He goes, "And my business has never been this bad. I've been in the business 32 years, Kevin." He says, "And it is so bad, I haven't listed or sold one piece of property in the last 6 weeks. My business is going straight down. I had to lay off 3 people within the organization. Bills are piling up. I can't make payments. Things are going terrible. I've never seen such a disastrous, terrible economic situation in my entire life. I'm going to probably go bankrupt. If this strike continues for 6 more weeks, I'm going to be out of business. I don't know what to do." Well, I'd never seen someone that enthusiastically negative before in my entire life either. So I immediately tried to get away from him and turned to the gal sitting to my left, and I asked her, I said, "How's things going with you?" She goes, "Mr. Trudeau, haven't you heard about the strike?" I said, "Oh boy, here we go again." I said, "Yeah, I heard a little bit about it." She goes, "Well, my business is booming." I said, "Well, what type of business are you in?" She says, "I'm in the real estate business." I says, "Now, wait a minute, how do you explain that?" She goes, "Well, the way I look at the situation is that people who work for those two major firms believe in those major companies, and they know that when they go back to work, they're going to have increased pay, increased fringe benefits, and increased security. Right now, they have all the time in the world for the husband and wife to search for the dream home of their choice." She says, "Kevin, I've sold more houses in the past 6 weeks than I have in the previous year. And let me tell you something else. If this strike continues for 6 more weeks, I'm going to get rich. I'm taking next year off." Now, here I am in the same community, at the same head table, 2 people in the same business, working on what they call in real estate an MLS, multiple listing service, which means they're selling the same products to the same prospects. One's getting rich, one's going broke. Why? On the way that they look at the situation. It's like the old saying, is the glass half full or half empty? How do you look at the situation? Do you think you can or do you think you can't? I know you can. It's just a matter of you believing that. You see, there's no limitation on you except that which you impose on yourself. Every time I talk about this, it reminds me of a story I heard about how they train fleas down south. Now, fleas, and I'm not a flea expert, but they tell me fleas ride dogs and they jump, and that's about all they do. And they tell me that if you watch a flea and you want to train him, you put a flea in a jar and he'll just jump right out of that jar without even thinking. He'll just jump right out of there. Well, in order to train him, you put a lid on the jar and you watch him jump, and he'll begin to whack his head on the top of that lid, the inside lid. He just keeps hitting his head on that lid. You come back an hour later, you watch this flea is still jumping and he's whacking his head on the inside lid of the jar. You come back 2 hours later, he's still jumping, whacking his head on that lid. You come back 3 hours, he's still jumping, but this time he's not hitting the lid because he's jumping only about an inch below the lid. He's altered his jumping pattern. He's not hitting his head anymore. Well, now you've literally trained the flea because you can take the lid off and watch him jump, and he won't jump out of the jar. Now, the question I have to ask you listening to this tape is this. Can the flea jump out of the jar? Yes. Or no. You see, he can't jump out of the jar anymore because he doesn't know the difference between a real limitation being the lid and a self-imposed limitation that he put on himself. You and I are the same way. We go into business, we go into life, and we put limitations on ourselves, and many times we don't know the difference between real limitations in our lives and those which we impose on ourselves. Folks, I want you to jump out of the jar. I want you to take the lid off and understand that there is no lid there. You can jump as high as you want. You can go as far as you want. You can do what you want to do and be what you want to be. And you are endowed with the seeds of greatness. You can do what you want. Do these exercises in this particular lesson. Release your imagination. Smile, have fun, and believe you can succeed. And you will. get this down, enjoy this lesson before you go on to the next.